Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And I'm happy to be here with Daniel Lim. See how I did that right there.
Yes, it's just a crowd full of joyfulness. Okay, hey, so we have a question from Justin today, and it's a little bit of a longer one, so I'm going to chop what we play here on the podcast. But basically, the essence is he is wrestling whether he's called to be a church planter, so let's listen in.
One thing I want to ask, and I'm not quite sure, this might need more fleshing out, but I'm slowly kind of trying to flesh out discern whether or not I'm called to be a church planter. So I was kind of curious what you guys would suggest as far as when to look elsewhere, when to kind of ask a pastor for training, or, you know, I'm just not quite sure what to do. And I don't want to step on his toes. I don't want to hurt his feelings or kind of look elsewhere when he's waiting to help.
So that's just a quick snippet of Justin's recording, and I wanted you to hear his tone and how he's been wrestling with the question, because sometimes, you know, we think, okay, just leave or this or that, but you can hear even in his tone the wrestling that he's done and the praying that he's just really done on this issue. A little bit more context that I skipped over. He's a deacon in an SBC church. He's married with three kids, 32 years old. The church is about 400 people, and there's no framework in the church around multiplication or to develop church planners and leaders, but he's hungry to learn and he's hungry to discern whether he's called to be a church planner. What are your thoughts, Ed?
Wow. I mean, it's a journey to discern that. I mean, so we, of course, talk about his theological education and probably not having any, my guess. I don't know. Doesn't preclude you being a church planter. What I would say is I would go through a discernment process. I would connect with his local church and begin to walk through with them, people who know him, who've spoken into his life, know if he meets the characteristics of 1 Timothy 3, because being a church planter really is being just a type of pastor. I would then ask the questions about, okay, if I have the qualifications for Timothy 3, do I have the wiring of a church planter? I would probably go on and use the church planter candidate assessment that Lifeway uses. They can just Google CPCA, church planter candidate assessment, Lifeway. That'll come right up. I would do that. It's a self-assessment to sort of look at your wiring and your gifting. So if your community, your church, you know, you say he's married, if your wife and your church community are positive about you going into the ministry, they might not have a lot of knowledge of what church planting means or looks like. But then if they are, then the next step is to, you know, see if you're having the wiring to do so. You do the self-assessment. I would then present myself to, we don't know if he has a denomination, but let's say that they're...
Oh, he's SBC.
Okay, I've heard of the SBC. Yeah. So much familiar. then I would approach my... state convention church planting office and say, listen, I've called, would you sit down with me? Would you do a more formal assessment with me? And asking them, what kind of requirements or steps do I need to take to be a church planter in, you know, what that sounded like a Southern accent. So let's say in Georgia, what kind of steps would I take to be a church planter in Georgia? Now here's, you got, probably there's a fork in the road coming. That is, do I do more education or do I go plant? And keeping in mind that I went from Georgia to plant a church in the inner city of Buffalo, New York, without any seminary education, I tend to think that's okay. I did my seminary training on the fly and on the move. So those things I would do and just kind of see where it ultimately leads.
Yeah, completely. I mean, there definitely is wisdom in starting with your local church body, especially if you're serving as a deacon as well, and having that conversation with your pastor and being SBC. There's a lot of resources that NAM has as it relates to depending on where you live, either a church planting catalyst or a Sun City missionary, state convention going with NAM. I mean, there's a lot of resources at your disposal because you are part of such a larger denomination. So there's definitely resources like that you can take advantage of. But I think the biggest thing is first exploring whether your church wants to send you out. Let's say you have discerned that you are called to be a church planner. You'll need to figure out, okay, is your church that you're serving at right now, do they have a heart for multiplication? And are they willing to partner with you in sending you out? Now, if that's you planting in another neighborhood in your right in your city or the next neighborhood right over, that might be a different conversation than if you're going to be moving cities or moving states. What's that phrase that you like to say, Ed?
You put your yes on the table, let God put it on the map.
No, the one about moving.
If you're going to move, you tell your family that you're going to have to, you know, God's calling to be a church planner in like Siberia. And then you tell them, I was just kidding, it's Seattle. And then they're a little less freaked out that you're actually than they thought. So that's good. I didn't mention them because largely I think that the path that you described is more local there, but you know, we're both keen on what NAM's doing, and exactly a good thing. But if he doesn't have a normal pathway, I guess NAM would have ways to make that connection as well. So yeah, add NAM to definitely. NAM is North American Mission Board, for those of you who don't know, which is the mission agency of the SBC.
Yeah. So there's definitely that side in terms of what steps to do to move forward and all that, and really to be discerning that with your wife and your kids. You didn't mention, I mean, I'm guessing with three kids and you being 32, they're all probably under 10 years old. So when you think about it from that perspective, there's timing that has to play in all of this. And I'd say if you're trying to discern whether or not you're called to plant a church, and you do discern that that's a yes, don't always assume that it's right away. The timing is a different piece to it all. That does take a little bit more nuance as it relates to discernment, but whether or not you're qualified to be a church planner or you have that calling toward it, those are two different things. So just put timing on one side and whether you're called to be and have the qualifications of a church planner or another. In planting missional churches that Ed and I did, the second edition, we have a few different characteristics, six indicators actually, that you may be called to plant a church. And this is in addition to the 1 Timothy 3 requirements. So here are the six. Do you have a pattern of ministry initiation in your past? Are you a starter? Do you have a pattern of that as you've grown up? Do you have a pattern of ministry multiplication in your local church? Have you been able to move from doing to equipping? And do you have a pattern of developing people and raising them and releasing them to lead in ministries? Do you have a personal wiring? Do you have a wiring to be a church planter? Are you entrepreneurial in those aspects? And that's a lot of what Ed was talking about with the CPCA assessment. You're going to be able to discern a lot of that there. I love these last three. Do you have a holy dissatisfaction? And Ed, you wrote this part of that where you were like, I want to be careful with this one. A person in ministry can feel dissatisfied for various reasons. Perhaps it's Monday morning and no one is shaking your hand telling you how much they enjoyed the message. This can leave you flat and dissatisfied. It could be, I like what you did here, it could be that you are just a dissatisfied person in general. The fact that you're angst-ridden and don't like the church you're in is not necessarily a sign that God has called you to plant a church. Ooh, and so I want to be careful.
It sounds a little more sarcastic than I meant it. But no, I think it's true. And I think it's important. And I would say, keep in mind that we're talking about the church planner candidate assessment, that's like a pre-assessment. You shouldn't do that alone, unless you look at it and say, that's definitely not me. Then what I would go, again, in your context, I would go to the church, a church planting assessment center. And if you go to nam.net/assessment, you'll actually be able to find, they've got assessment centers all over the country. 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I wouldn't have sent somebody to NAM for church planning assessment, but their new assessment is it's a whole center. It's strong. I'd recommend it. And I would go through an assessment center to be sure. And they have them, you know, relatively near you as well. There's one in Georgia, one in Florida, one in Virginia, you know, one in Missouri. So their assessment center's nearby.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, obviously they don't have the market cornered on assessments, but because he is SBC, that's definitely the one to recommend because it is, it's so thorough in the way that they do it and a lot of fun with all the elements. So
yeah. We recognize that a whole lot of our listeners are not SBC. So, your denomination will have a similar path.
Exactly.
And, you know, you might contact your district first, as I mentioned, then do your national entity, which will probably, we'll have more information on assessment and a path towards that church planning ministry.
Yeah, completely, completely. And just lastly, the last two qualifications are a family commitment or indicators, a family commitment. God will not lead you to start a church if it means you have to leave your spouse and kids. So you need to have your family's commitment, and your wife's commitment right now is going to look your children's commitment is going to look a little different if they're younger. At what age would you say to bring your kids into the discernment process, especially if you're planting a church?
You know, in my case, my kids were all too young. We didn't bring them in any conversation until probably the only time they were in a conversation was when we moved here, and it wasn't to plant a church. So I guess I don't speak from personal experience, but I would think when somebody's of age, that moving needs to have some compelling reason. You know, a 5-year-old probably doesn't care as much as a 15-year-old would. And so but here's the thing. If you bring them into the discernment process, what 15-year-old wants to move? I mean, that's just not going to happen anyway. So I think at the end of the day, you got to kind of pray that through and then help them to see the part of the Christian life is sometimes God calls you to move.
Yeah, I'd agree. Those are good words. And the last indicator is affirmation from your church, which we've talked about. So yeah, we hope that that's helpful, Justin, and that you've maybe helped, I guess, bring a little bit of clarity in terms of what your next steps are. But ultimately, if you are wrestling with this, you do need to spend time with the Lord, spend time in the scriptures, practicing the spiritual disciplines and in prayer. And I'd say with all that, lay that before the Lord and invite other people into that discernment process as well, which is why it's so important to do the pre-assessments and do the assessment centers, because you can connect with others and they can ask you those right questions. But having friends and in your small group and others that you really lean on that know you, that's going to be really important to invite them into the discernment process as well. Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening into the New Churches Q&A podcast, and we will catch you next time. And just one more thing. As you know, our hope is to always equip you with the best resources to help churches thrive. So if you're looking at launching a thriving church in a rented venue, I encourage you to check out the team at Portable Church. Portable Church Industries equips churches meeting in alternative venues with total solutions so you can launch strong, be reproducible, and thrive in your communities. For over 25 years, they have partnered with church planters and multi-site leaders, mastering creative, intelligent, effective, portable church solutions so you and your team can stay focused on the things that matter, building disciples. See what this looks like by visiting portablechurch.com/lifeway.